You ready to bring up some of these superstars that we got here?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be. You know, it's awesome. It never gets old, dude. Little Carmichael Dave, the 17, 18-year-old Carmichael Dave's heart just starts skipping a little bit when it doesn't get old, whether we work with them, whether we're around them in media days, covering them. They're still Sacramento Kings legends.
So you're just going to make this weird, huh?
Completely
weird. Just
going to
make this as weird as possible.
I will be basically the representative of everybody there up here. You be the professional.
I'll be the professional, and I'll bring the first one to the stage. Number 10.
Woo.
Number 10. He's going to bring all of his muscles with him, too. Y'all make some noise for my man, Mike Bibby.
Coming to the stage from Pepperdine University, also my sister's alma mater, that means nothing, and to guard for your Sacramento Kings, the one, the only, Doug Christie! That's a nice hat.
Thank you, sir.
So I got the last one. How about
you got the anchor.
General manager of your Sacramento Kings, ladies and gentlemen, Vlade Divac.
Hello!
Just want to be clear, every member of the Sacramento Kings is back there watching Tiger golf. Everybody back there is
one, two.
Gravely concerned with how Tiger's doing. You want to give everybody a Tiger update, Doug?
Is he still winning?
No, he did birdie the first hole.
Yes.
Okay. See, yeah, I have a theory, Doug. He's going to break your guys' heart. He's going to rope you all into tomorrow. You go, oh, Tiger, it's Tiger time. And then he's going to double on 16, and y'all going
to
be hurt.
Wow. I'd hate to be Grant Napier if he wins. I'm just going to say that.
I will keep my comments to myself.
You guys understand that one.
Why don't you start us off, DC?
I will start. I'll start us off with because that's DC. I'm CD.
Same.
It's gonna get confusing.
You guys look alike.
Let me ask you a question.
Dave from Carmichael.
Dave from Carmichael. Yeah.
That would be DC.
That DC.
Okay. I used to live in Carmichael.
If I remember correctly, didn't you? I don't want to give it away, but I think you used to live near my alma mater, Rio Americano, didn't you?
I was on Kingsford.
Okay. Well, you said that. I used to ride my bike down that street on my way home from high school every day, go up Arden to Fair Oaks Boulevard, and then on over. They don't care about where I rode my bike. What they do care about is Bogdan Bogdanovic. And so you were talking backstage, that news. Why don't you give us a bogey update real quick?
Well, bogey felt right after the season uncomfortable in his knees. So he went to see the doctor in New York. He did a minor surgery for cleanup. And then he got recovered. He started playing, you know, and now he feels as though, again, on a different spot.
Sure.
So it's a minor stuff that's going to go on Monday in New York to clean up, and hopefully he'll be back, you know, I would say early November.
Very good. So he might miss a couple games, but they're just taking care of it, making sure it doesn't get something bigger.
Oh, exactly.
Gotcha.
Does this give you a little concern now with players playing overseas? After you draft them, does it give you concern that they go over there? And
no,
and
really.
Like
I mean,
this?
You know what? You can get hurt in the practice. You can get hurt, you know, running, you know. So I always support guys to play in pickup games, practice, you know. All my career, I played for my national team. Never have, you know. So those things, you know, when it happens, then you start blaming somebody else. No, it's part of the work.
Turn to Mike Bibby here, and I'll just get out of the way. I'll just get out of the way right here at the beginning. Because you look like an Avenger. I mean, my goodness gracious. Everyone looks at Mike and he's a superhero.
Dave, I tried to sign him this summer, but we couldn't find the shirt for him.
I thought we had enough power forward. That's what I thought.
Mike, I mean, obviously it's good to be talked about for a good thing, that you're in shape and yet you're muscular, but was this just a love of weights? Was there a whole thing?
Are you really bored, Mike? Is that what's going on?
They never let me work out when I was here. That was just a frown upon lifting. Vlade, Doug knows that, you know. We grew up in the era where you don't lift weights.
I remember.
And, you know, I always loved to lift weights. That's what I do. You know, now I have nothing to do. I don't play basketball like that anymore. I can lift as much as I want, as heavy as I want.
I'm moving in your house, so you have to, you know, come and help me out with the furniture.
Everything's wood.
Now, I have it on good authority, by the way, while you two are going back and forth, that back in the day, that y'all two would go at it, and I'm saying Vlade and Mike, you guys would go at it quite a bit in practice. I'm not going to say who told me that, or anything.
What, about just, the, head, about say, the head jokes?
I'm just going to say that used to happen quite a bit.
My head is not compared to that size. It's impossible. It's the biggest head I ever seen.
Well, and Mike gets a bad reputation, too, and I want to stand up for him because I remember when I used to have Francisco Garcia on my show when he was a rookie. One of the first stories we actually got him to open up with was either pre- or post-practice shooting contests. And I'd say, did you ever lose money to Mike? And he turned pale white, and he said, yeah, but Mike cheats. Francisco Garcia accused you of cheating on our very show, Mike.
That's what happens when you win, I guess. So. They always accuse you of cheating when you win.
That was a Lakers comment.
Wow.
No, it wasn't.
Here we go.
I'm just up.
Okay. Not that you're holding on to that or anything.
No, moving on.
not that you're still.
That could be the whole rest of the interview right there.
Absolutely.
By the way, everybody, Rick Fox will be here at 12:30.
Boo!
Fox will. I'm not introducing him. I
told you about the whole Laker thing. You didn't believe me.
Oh, Dave
I
is
told
all...
you before the show, before this whole thing. There's a few Kings fans out here, are there not?
Yes!
And you love the Lakers, don't you? They know where, you know, they know where the bread's buttered, man. I mean, that's part of the fabric of this whole city.
Hey, DC, didn't you play in L.A.?
Yeah.
We don't talk about that.
Oh, we just ignore that whole part of Doug's career.
I think Vlade might have played there, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, did he?
But we,
oh, wow.
That's when I first met Vlade.
He was my rookie.
Yes, yeah. I was.
Oh, how did that go?
It was good. It was good. I mean,
for him?
He listened?
No, it was a great rookie. You know, obviously, it didn't work for him there, so he went around, and we met again in Sacramento, so we are glad to have opportunity to play in our prime.
So can I throw one at you? Because you're the general manager of the organization, Vlade, and now Doug has a different role where he's going to be a television analyst, and he's going to have to be critical of the organization once in a while. Have you guys talked about that?
No, because that's how we treat each other. I mean, even when we play together, we told each other, you know, straight in the face what's happening, you know, and criticize each other. That's how you get better.
So if Doug was your rookie, and then wasn't Vince Carter your rookie?
Yes, he was.
So when Vince came here, was he like your grand rookie? And then you guys had that relationship?
I see how you did that. Yeah, dude. That was solid.
3 degrees of separation
here. That was really good.
Doug, I'm going to hop on Damien's question. You know, this isn't going to be your first year doing color commentating, but you're going in there pretty much full time.
Yep.
How excited? This is a whole different level of excitement for you, I would imagine.
It is, man. I consider myself a basketball nerd. I enjoy it. I enjoy all the aspects. Jerry Reynolds and Grant have been very gracious to me, especially Jerry, with any information that I needed. And the organization has been fantastic. So it's been a seamless kind of a flow, obviously, for me. I'm excited because such a young team, and when you get to get to know them and you get to be around them, it's like your kids. It's like watching them grow. And that, for me, is just like, man, go. You know, you want to rip off my sweats and go out there, but okay. Nah, I'm too old for that. So I'll watch and cheer from the sideline.
Right.
Try to be...
If Vlade needed you for 10 minutes, could you do it?
Got 10 minutes in me. You just got to make sure that he's got to pay me for the whole thing. But I got six files? Oh, boy.
Dougie, believe me, if you pay for 10 minutes, that's going to be more than you made it when you played.
Exactly. That's my whole point. That's what I'm saying. Like, 10 minutes, I'm in.
Now, Mike, starting. You were talking about, you said you don't, you're all about the gym and working out and all that, but I did see you in Oakland for the Big Three. You still ball a little bit. Is that something that you're going to keep doing with Ice Cube and that crew over there?
Yeah, I'm going to stay over there for a little bit. It's fun. You know, you get the camaraderie with the guys, all the guys that play, you know, the guys that I grew up playing with. And, you know, just to hang out and, you know, just go eat dinner and stuff and hang out. You know, it's good. It's good to be there. It's almost like the NBA vibe again.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, the game I was at, obviously, Cube is there, front row and center, but LL Cool J was there. Obviously, Dr. J is a coach. There's some pretty heavy hitters there in the Big Three.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be big time. You know, I mean, it's moving up. You know, the first year, no one knew how it would do. And, you know, I mean, it was competitive. We were still playing. You know, guys were out there. You know, I think they after the first week, they realized how tough it was going to be. And, you know, people started working out. I thought they were going to come in and thought it was going to be easy and show that, you know, people have been working out. And, you know, people went back in their house and started working out.
And the coaching's in your blood, though, isn't it? I mean, at some point, and I know you've definitely, you know, obviously with the kids and all that, is that something that eventually, do you ever want to be on an NBA bench? Uh-oh, what'd I do?
Eventually, I like to.
Mike,
that was solid.
Mike is going to be good coach. You know, he was the point guard. He was basically coach on the floor. So
right.
I have no doubt that down the road that he's going to get there.
Yeah, he's already been on the bench. He was on the bench in Memphis this summer league.
Saw that down there.
Okay. Anyone else up here want to coach?
Okay.
I'm resigning right now.
Damien, I just want, for the record, did you see when Mike got up, I very quickly started to go, I did not know what he was doing.
I thought he was going to smack the hell out of you.
I said, did I just say something wrong? Because, I mean, again.
Solid move.
Avenger.
He's an Avenger. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I know this. If he does get in the cut, all the players are going to listen to him.
Because
he will pump
right.
them. Right. Vlade, how excited are you? I mean, I know it's kind of the standard, you know, sports talk radio question. What are you going to do? Say, I'm not excited. But really, how stoked are you for the upcoming season?
Well, Doug just said it. You know, when you're around those kids, you know, for the last couple of years, you see them grow together. You know, you have to live with them, you know, and absolutely exciting about the season. You know, I think we had a few, you know, great talents on our team, and I think it's going to be great. You know, we're going to play up tempo. We're gonna be very athletic. You know, we have one of the, you know, fastest point guards in the league. So we're gonna push the ball.
What'd you fall in love with regarding Marvin Bagley?
From Arizona, he's one of I coached him when he was 12. He played with our team when he was 12.
Wow.
So it was a hell of a draft pick. I think he's gonna do great.
Well, I think he's, you know, definitely he's gonna be elite in this league. You know, he's young. He's he wants to work. He's doing a lot of, you know, stuff even in college. I don't know how many people know that he skipped high school to get there and compete with much older guys. He's gonna need some time, but definitely he's gonna be an elite player in this league.
Well, I think I remember reading, like, kind of like what you just said, this should have been his freshman year. And he joined Duke at the very last minute, and then along with Wendell Carter in that system, just absolutely dominated. And you said, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, but what we were talking a while back about Marvin, and I think we brought up Wendell as well, you think Marvin's going to be far better than he was in that Duke system because he's not going to have those same constraints.
Well, you have to know, you know, the Duke system, you know, they play, you know, they said, like, he's not a shot blocker, you know, but they play the zone, you know.
Right.
So when I saw him in a practice, Doug was there, he's blocking shots, you know, he's rebounding, he's running. When he develops his outside shots, he's going to be a very, very, very good player.
I didn't know you had a scout, by the way. I didn't know you had an extra scout on Marvin Bagley over there. Yeah, this...
I didn't know that either. That's
breaking news.
Good thing of all, he's a great kid. You know, you got a good family, great kid. You guys are going to love him.
Did he stand out to you when you said what, 12?
12, it might have been 14.
14 right in there, but did you kind of know right then?
I mean, he was 6'11 back then, so, I mean, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with that. So, I mean, he's just a good kid all the way around. You know?
So, is Harry Giles already the greatest basketball player that ever lived, or not yet? Because everything we hear coming out of practice is he's getting very close.
Okay, I shouldn't have a favorites, but let me explain about Harry. Talented kid, working hard. Last 2 years he went through the tough time, but mentally he was so strong to overcome all those stuff. But let's not put so much pressure on the kid. You know, let him just play, let him have fun. He'll get there.
So hold off on the enshrinement, not yet.
No, on the expectations. Just let him, you know.
Some guys came out of practice.
Yes, I will tell you. Look.
Wow.
Looking at him, the comparisons to, you shake his hand, it reminds me of Webb's hands. Watching him hold the basketball, pass the basketball, he has things in an instinctual way that you can't teach. And then he has a mean streak to him that isn't around that much today. So from that standpoint, everything is there. And I'm going here with it.
Okay.
I like what I see.
Same thing. We all love what we see, but don't
forget.
He has
to do it.
Last 2 years, he played what? Two games, three games?
In college.
You know,
really nothing.
He'll need some time, but we are all confident.
Well, and one other thing I've noticed about him, too, and you guys know him and are in practices with him, he seems like he's an alpha dog. He's already, he hasn't even stepped on the floor in an NBA game, and it seems like within a month or two, no offense to any of the other players, but there's always a dog that steps up. He seems like he's going to be that guy.
No question. He's that kind of guy, you know, and that's what we need on our team, you know.
Yeah. The more of those you have in practice, the better the practice, because they butt heads and they get after each other. They don't just fall in line, and when you have that, it raises everybody's competition level.
So who did that for you guys when you guys were playing together? Who was the one who always had something to say during practice?
Well, Bobby's talked a lot, but let's not talk about that. No, you know, oddly enough, it was everybody. We challenged each other, especially like with our starting group. The second group, in my opinion, could have been a really good team in the NBA all by themselves.
That would be a playoff team for sure.
Absolutely. So they would beat us in practice, and then they would start talking. So now we got to play. And that's kind of how it always was. It didn't matter if it was a shooting game or whatever it was. You're chirping. So everyone, it wasn't necessarily alpha dogish. It was just the environment was there.
Yeah, pushing each other, yeah.
I got to ask one last question. I think this obviously this is before Mike joined the team. And Doug, I'm trying to know the timing here. Vlade, I know you were there. I saw a clip of Chris Webber the other day telling a story I didn't know. Is there any truth to the rumor that at one point when Jason Williams was a rookie, he rode underneath the bus to get to, because he didn't want anybody messing with him, and they opened up the luggage compartment, and there he was on his headphones because he didn't want anybody messing with him, just chilling and listening to music. Is that true?
Yeah, it was a ride from Boston International Airport to hotel.
It was cold.
It was very cold, yeah.
Very cold.
And Jason's riding, imagine this, a big luxury bus where all the suitcases are, and Jason Williams is just chilling with his headphones on and his hoodie. He could have fallen out or something, and he rode all the way from the airport to the hotel.
Yep.
Because he didn't want to get messed with. You guys were like that to your rookies.
He's an interesting character.
That's extreme. That's extreme, though.
So I want to throw, we're wrapping up. I want to throw one more at Vlade because I don't get the opportunity to talk to him a lot. So I want to throw this one at you. You were talking about playing for your national team earlier, and you have one of the greatest 30 for 30s that was ever done. Mm-hmm. And there was a famous time during your tenure with the Kings where you would wear the black armband as a political statement. How do you feel about social activism in sports today? Because that is a pretty common conversation.
I think it's very important for, I mean, when somebody says, you know, I don't care about politics and social stuff, you know, why? I mean, it's all around us. It's affecting our lives. It's affecting our, you know, our families. So you have to be involved.
And I'll finish up with an equally as important question because I'm looking over at Mike and I've always wanted to ask him this. Do you see what Mike's doing?
No, oh my God. I had some fingernail clippers in the car. I was going to bring them with me.
It's just a habit, man. You would always remember Mike would have the cleanest fingernails on the team. He would clip them on the bench. Now, do you still carry clippers around with you on a daily basis, or have you gotten a little better?
They're always with me. Always.
I mean, you're pedicuring right now.
My God, I got something right here. Can I have it?
I use my clippers on your nails.
I mean, is there...
Unnecessary.
Ladies and gentlemen, three absolute legends of your Sacramento Kings. Mike Bibby, Doug Christie, and Vlade Divac.